Hello, welcome to Lifehouse Church Podcast. Today, you're going to be listening to an incredible message from our very own Pastor Sarah Hollingworth. If there's anything else you'd like to know about the life of the church, please head over to our website page, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk. Or you could follow us on our social media platforms at Lifehouse12. Sit back, enjoy this message, and we'll see you again soon.
Wow. Thank you so much. You know, you can take your seats. I have absolutely loved being in church this morning. Like, the atmosphere in church has been incredible this morning. I have loved it. And I'm loving our boy band this morning. Like, our all boy band. Let's give a round of applause for the band this morning. You handsome lot. Listen, I've had a few compliments this morning about my jacket. And everyone's like, oh, I like your blazer this morning. And this is a true story, right? I stood in front of the wardrobe. I'd actually got some other clothes out for this morning, but I was like, So I went to the wardrobe, I opened the wardrobe, and I saw this blazer hanging there. And it reminded me of, I don't know if you've ever seen this YouTube clip of Brooke Fraser, who is the worship leader for Hillsong's Church. And she did this colour conference, which is a ladies' conference, and there's a clip of her, and she stands at the front and she says this. She says, I'm wearing a suit today because I came to do business with God. I was like, I am putting that jacket on this morning. Because listen, I am here to do business with God today, and I hope you are too. So get ready, because God is going to challenge you, God is going to speak to you, and I want to make sure that you walk out of this place empowered and in a different way to the way that you walked in today, church. I'm excited for what God's been speaking. You know, we've been looking at the book of Ephesians. We started this series, and just a great book. I want to just give you a little bit of a background on the book of Ephesians, because I'm one of these people that I like to know the who, the why, the when. I'm a woman. I want to know it all. I don't just want to know I want to do a little bit of digging. I want to know exactly, you know, all the background. So the book of Ephesians was written by Paul as he's in jail in Rome. He's been put in jail because he's preaching the word. And they're saying that he's causing a disruption. That is the best kind of disruption, church. You know, preaching the word and telling people about Jesus has got to be the best disruption that we as people can ever make. And so he's put in prison. He's in jail. And he writes this letter to the church of Ephesus. Now, the Church of Ephesus is a place that he has spent time. He spent around 2 years in Ephesus, and Ephesus was a huge place. And it was kind of like the epicenter for worship of the Greek gods. So you can see that straight away there would be some, you know, disruption of the Church of God. People worshiping a different god to what was the status quo. But the church was very successful in Ephesus, and so Paul is writing to this church, and actually this is one of the churches that is mentioned in the book of Revelation, because it's a really important church. And so we find this letter, and it's actually in two halves, the book of Ephesians. The first half, chapters 1-3, are actually Paul talking about the Gospels. He's talking about the works of Jesus and how incredible, you know, the works of Jesus are and the importance of the Gospels to us. The second half, which is the beginning of chapter 4, says these words. It says, therefore, which is like a link word. So we've gone from talking about the Gospels, there's then a link word that says, therefore. In my Bible, it says, then I urge you. And what happens next is, in chapters 4-6, it talks about how the Gospel should begin to shape every aspect of our life. So you see, what Paul does is he lays down the foundation of the Gospel, and then he begins to give us the application of how we as people can use the Gospel to transform, to shape, and to change our lives. So over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the armor of God. And I'm just fascinated by this scripture. It's found in Ephesians 6, and for those of you that are perhaps new to the Bible, and you're like, where the heck is that? Like, it's right near the back, so if you want to find it, I would encourage you to put a bookmark in, because we're going to be going to that every week for the next few weeks. But we're going to be looking at Ephesians 6. You know, just out of interest, I am rubbish at remembering what books are where in the Bible. Like, I am being completely vulnerable now. Like, I have not got it all together when it comes to what order they come in. But let me just give you a little tip. There's this thing at the front, and it's called the contents. That's what it's there for. So don't feel under condemnation if you're flicking and you're like, everybody's watching me, I don't know where it is. Is it near the front? Is it near the back? Listen, go to the contents and it tells you exactly what page it's on. You can just flick straight to it. It's super helpful and that's why it's there. Okay, just a little bit of a tip there. That's what I do. I always do it. I always go to the front rather than spending ages looking for it. But what I want you to keep in mind is as you read the Word of God, whatever book it is you're reading, I want you to always keep this in mind. There's two things. I want you to keep in mind when it was written and who it was written for. Because actually, that is a really helpful thing when you're reading the Word of God, because it gives you some context of what they're talking about. So Paul is writing to this church in a time when the Romans were at power. Now, if you know history, you will know that the Romans were brutal. You know, their soldiers were the best of the best. They were brutal. They had a reputation. They were the most feared soldiers. They had to be a Roman citizen to become a soldier, but they were trained hard and brutally. But they were trained to fight in a disciplined and effective manner. They were the strongest. They had the best armor. They had the best weapons. So you can see now why Paul uses the armor that a soldier wears when he is talking to us about putting on the armor of God. He's telling us to stand firm, to be strong. You are as strong as these soldiers. It was so relevant to the time. Everyone could relate to it. You know, he could have said, you know, you need to make sure that you have the truth and the righteousness and the faith and the word. But I love how he attaches each one to a part of the armor. It's a visual representation that helps us to remember, and it helps us to see that with those things, we too can be strong. You see, every part of a Roman soldier's armor is vitally important. It prepares them for battle and it helps them to stand firm. See, when the armor is on, they become a soldier. When their armor's off, they're just a man. It's like me with this jacket this morning. I put the jacket on, I was like, right, I am going for it this morning. I feel empowered to bring the word of God. Last week, we heard about the belt of truth, the importance of not just carrying it around in our hand, but actually to put it on. It needs to be on to do its job. It's no good knowing the truth. We need to know the truth. And just as that belt that Paul had on last week looked really uncomfortable, the truth is uncomfortable at times. We have to wear it and we have to, you know, stand firm with the belt of truth on. Today we're going to look at the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now the breastplate provides protection for the most important, most vital organs in the body, for the heart and the lungs. The heart and the lungs are the most vital because without them, you cannot live. Without any lungs, you can't breathe. Without your heart, nothing, the blood doesn't pump round. So they are the most vital organs. That is why the breastplate is in place. You see, church, our hearts need to be protected. It's vital for our life. If we want to live a righteous life, we need to make sure that our heart is right. And for it to be right, it needs protection. Now, one of my most quoted Bible verses. I feel like I say this so many times when I'm talking to people, especially people that, you know, are facing a difficult time. But Proverbs 4:23 says this: above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. You know, many years ago, I had a friend. I know I did. I do have friends. But this friend really hurt me. And it was a really difficult time. I just felt so hurt. And I was angry. I was angry at what had happened. And I remember reading this verse. And honestly, it was the most freeing thing I'd ever read. Because it gave me permission to protect my heart in this situation. You see, what was happening, I was having nasty thoughts about this person. I was seeing things on social media that made me angry. And I was starting to feel so bitter about this person. And this thing that wasn't me was like welling up inside, and it was starting to come out of my mouth. You see, what had happened was I'd allowed my heart to become corrupted. So I read this verse, and I knew that what I had to do, it sounds really brutal, but I actually removed them from my social media. I just stopped looking at their posts. Now, it might have, from the outside looking in, that looked kind of like a little bit mardy and a little bit harsh. But actually, sometimes we need to do things for ourselves that are going to protect us, to make sure that we are right with God, that we are right with the people around us. You know, at midnight last night, I was just laid quiet. Paul, as soon as his head hits the pillow, he's straight to sleep. It's so unfair. But I was laid in bed, and I was mulling over what I needed to do today and what I was going to be saying. I kind of like run through the order in my head to make sure that I'm... And it's like God spoke to me in that moment. And I had to get up out of bed, and I had to add some notes to remind me of what I needed to say. And I just felt like God was saying this, that today, as I'm speaking, as I've just talked about that, God is bringing to mind some things in your life that remind you of this situation. I don't know who it is. Maybe it's all of you. But there's three things that's come to mind is doing. So the first thing is either holding you back from God's best for you. The second thing is it's bringing out the worst in you, causing you bitterness and jealousy and resentment. Or the third thing is it's hurting you because you've allowed yourself to leave your heart wide open. It's time to cut it off. It's brutal, but it's time to cut that thing off that is holding you back from all that God has for you. It's time to cut that thing off that is causing you to feel resentment and jealousy. And it's time to cut it off because it's hurting you. To protect your heart, you have to make the right decision. You have to choose. That's why the breastplate is so important. See, we all know that a soldier's main form of defense is a shield and a sword. Like when you think of a soldier, I always think of a shield and a sword because it's kind of like the most important, you know, without a shield and a sword, it's a bit difficult. But you see, this passage that we're looking into over these next few weeks describes the shield as the shield of faith. And who knows that when troubles come and our faith is lost as the shield drops, it temporarily knocks our faith. We're left wide open to the unexpected. And you know what? When our faith is knocked and our shield has been knocked to the ground, our breastplate is the thing that protects us. It's the thing that protects our vital organs, the thing that protects our heart. And it can be something as simple as an argument. You see, arguments can be the most brutal, can be the most wounding, can be the most hurtful thing that we encounter. But if our breastplate of righteousness is in place, it helps us to ward off those fiery arrows that come our way. It's our ultimate protection. It protects us against the unexpected and against overwhelming numbers. You know, I know Christians that have walked away from church and walked away from God because of hurtful things that people in the church have said to them. Don't leave yourself vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy, church. So why righteousness? Why the breastplate of righteousness? One commentary that I read said this: as the breastplate defends the heart and lungs of those vital organs that are contained in the thorax, so the righteousness defends everything on which the man's spiritual existence depends. Wow. So what is righteousness? The dictionary says this. It says, righteousness is the quality or state of being morally correct and justifiable. It can be considered synonymous with righteousness, with rightness or being upright. But in a biblical context, it's to obey God's commands and live in a way that is honourable to God. The word righteousness actually appears in the Bible over 500 times. From the Old Testament right through to the book of Revelation. But Isaiah 59 says this, and it's speaking of God looking down on his people and feeling just distraught, really. He's looking at them and there's no good thing happening. He's hurt by their actions. He's hurt by what he sees. And it says this, verse 16 to 17, it says, the Lord looked and was displeased that there was no justice. He saw that there was no one. He was appalled that there was no one to intervene. So his own arm achieved salvation for him. And his own righteousness sustained him. He put on righteousness as his breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. He put on the garments of vengeance and wrapped himself in zeal as in a cloak. It says that God put on righteousness as a breastplate. Church, we are strengthening ourselves with the very thing that God used to strengthen himself. See, when it gets hard, and it will, when we don't like what we see around us, the breastplate of righteousness is the very thing that will protect our heart. So how do we put it on? Like, how do we live a life of righteousness? I think the story of Lot is really helpful in this situation. You know, Lot is found in the book of Genesis, and it's the story, the account of a man who lives in Sodom and Gomorrah, a terrible place. This man is surrounded by things like the most hideous atrocities, that things going on around him that are just not godly. You know, he doesn't want to see these things happening. It's against everything that he believes. Like, go away and read it. It's actually really interesting. It's really interesting reading. 2 Peter 2, verse 6 to 7 says this. If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man, who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. See, even though Lot was surrounded by what seemed to be rotten, what seemed to be, you know, gone bad, so ungodly, Lot was not swayed by the status quo. He didn't allow peer pressure to take over and to begin to do things that were not righteous with God. You see, his righteousness, his breastplate of righteousness was in place. And actually, his righteousness, his breastplate of righteousness was the very thing that saved Lot from destruction. You see, it's a simple symbol of protection, but it's so important to protect our hearts. You see, too often our sinful nature gets in the way. That's why putting on the full armor of God is so important. It readies us for life, for the things that surround us day by day. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." So how do we put it on? We have to be aware of the decisions that we make daily. Are they based on God's word? You see, every action begins with a thought. Let that just settle for a moment. Every action begins with a thought. Everything you do, from blinking your eyes to moving your arm, begins with a thought. We have to keep our thoughts in check. We have to take every thought captive and bring it in line with God's word. Psalm 119:172 says this, "May my tongue sing your word, for all your commands are righteous." You see, just like walking around in that uncomfortable armor that those soldiers would wear, the armor that we have to put on as Christians is just as uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. The truth is uncomfortable. Doing the right thing is uncomfortable at times. And hearing all this can make us feel a little bit inadequate, I think. It makes us feel like a bit of a failure. Like, I am, you know, I'm so not good. Like, I have bad thoughts, or, you know, I don't always live in a way that is pleasing to God. I love this. This is amazing. It's like Jesus plays his trump card. Does anybody play top trumps? Like, you know when you get that card and you're like, oh, I've got a belter here, I'm keeping that one. And you just pull it out at the last minute and you're like, beat that. And I just feel like with this passage that this is what happens. It's like Jesus pulls out his trump card. Are you ready for this? It says this in Romans 3, 21 to 26. It says, "Righteousness through faith. But now, apart from the law of righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ." Newsflash, church, our faith in Jesus makes us righteous. Our faith in Jesus makes us righteous. It's not about what we do. It's not about our acts. It's about his grace. And it's about our faith in Jesus that makes us righteous. We aren't trying to be righteous. God sees us as righteous. All we have to do is protect it. That's all we have to do. You see, our actions are not the thing that make us righteous, but it's important that our actions protect our righteousness. Because through Jesus, through God's grace, we are made righteous. Yes. you, Lord. Oh. See, the breastplate of righteousness will protect us. It will help us to stand firm. It will help to keep our heart right. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 says this, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You see, church, it starts with a single choice. To live with the right decisions daily, to choose God's word, to choose his ways and his plan. Choosing with God's help to make our next choice a righteous one. We have to make the right choices, but it's all about protection. It's about looking after our vital organs, our heart. Our heart needs to be right with God, and our lungs, because as we breathe God in, we can breathe God out. On a generation of lost people, on a generation of people who just don't know the goodness of God. So daily, as we make the decision to make good choices, we are putting on the breastplate of righteousness. It's as simple as that. I wanted to keep it as simple today as I could, because it can get a little bit complicated sometimes, and I just want you to go away with this thought that nothing we do can make us righteous. We just need to protect our righteousness. Come on, why don't you stand to your feet? We thank God for his word today. God, in this place, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it brings a challenge to our lives. But God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that beautiful gift of Jesus. That he came and that he gave his life for an atonement for all our sins. So that we could live a life of righteousness. God, I thank you that as you look upon us, that you see a righteous people. God, I pray that you would help us in these coming days to learn to protect our heart, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That ultimately, we would be in relationship with you and we would see your kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise, Lord God. In your precious name, amen.
Brilliant. Thank you for engaging with us today. What an incredible message that was. Just remember, if you want to know anything else about who we are, where we are, what we do, head over to that website, www.lifehousechurch.co.uk, or on our social media platforms, @lifehouse12. Thanks, be blessed, and we'll see you again soon.